Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another first-run bald movie. I guess this is going to be in pulp, since we're watching the 2021 version of Candyman. I'm not going to say it anymore. I want to take any fucking chances, Jim.
That's not going to be like those. One.
I'm not going to be like this silly white folk in the movie, just like it's been 17 people slayed. Connection to this C man character. No. I'm taking all precautions. What did you think of this movie, Jim?
I liked the movie. I liked it. We were talking before this, and I think we said that it wasn't super scary, which, yeah, that's kind of not the point, right? It is, in as much as, like, Get Out, the point is that it's scary. But it's scary for a lot of different reasons, not just because there are ghosts in your house or something.
Yeah, there's genuine horror in this film, for sure. Not in the James Wan kind of way. And there's also quite a bit of good suspense in the first half of the film, and just body horror. That's kind of my kryptonite, I guess. So I was like, really, there's a couple scenes where I was just really squirming on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, me too. That and the tension, it does create like an atmosphere of fear. An atmosphere of, oh no, there's a thing that's probably going to happen and I don't want it to happen kind of feeling.
Yeah. I think this movie was extremely slick looking. Like, I've heard a lot about this director, Nia DaCosta. I haven't seen her first film, and I know she's tapped to make a Marvel film next. But this thing looks like $1 million. There's a couple things like the credit sequence in this film.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a simple effect that they flipped a camera upside down, drove it around Chicago while Chicago was kind of shrouded in fog. But it really feels wrong. And it's over, like, there's this amazing kind of like The Shining-esque soundtrack going on with this movie. That really kind of ramps up the kind of supernatural dread and stuff throughout the movie. I thought it was extremely effective. And again, I just can't believe how slick this film looks.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember if I've ever seen the original Candyman, but I can tell you it's nowhere near as good as this movie.
It can't be.
Yeah. Whether I've seen it or not. It might've just been a thing where Candyman was around when I was, a young man, and I never saw it, but I knew of it and the reputation with the hook hand and the bees and all that.
Yeah.
But it's much campier from what I've seen of the original than this is.
Yeah. And I kind of want to see it to get the context of it, because I guess that this movie does draw a lot of its inspiration and its history. It's not like, this isn't like a reboot of Candyman. This is another chapter in the Candyman legend. This is just one bee in the swarm, as they say.
Yeah.
It looks great. I think the horror is done fairly well. Although again, it's not like James Wan, where I have felt like the hair on my neck. I guess a little bit. There's a couple points because they do a lot of mirrors and
for sure.
Darkness. And raspy voice noises, but still, it's more of a different kind of horror.
I feel like it's to look to the mirrors. Because a lot of horror is about like something happening that you don't expect to happen. In a very weird way that's off-putting. In this, it's more like, well, I know to look at the mirrors because that's Candyman,
right?
So the horror doesn't hit as hard.
Yeah, the cameras are placed there conspicuously. So there's a few times where they misdirect, because you kept on, every time you see a mirror in this movie, you're looking, is he going to be is just like Easter egg, and there's a couple points early on in the film where I thought they might fuck around with that and they didn't. Mm-hmm. But then once they start doing, it's pretty consistent. There's not a lot of misdirection.
Yeah.
But I don't think this movie's really about that, you know? I thought the cast was really good, Dr. Manhattan, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. I don't know. Do you pronounce this? Do you do this guy's full title?
I guess so.
All the time. But this Yahya guy is fucking amazing. I thought that, man, Coleman Domingo. Do you remember me raving about the pimp in Zola, who is also like the Batman type character? It was in The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who is the laundromat owner. He's incredible.
Yeah, he has one of the best voices. Like him and Keith David. Oh, you think
he's got one of the best voices you've ever heard?
And it's so raspy.
A man can talk like this and be taken seriously. You think that's something? It's incredible. I fucking can't believe this guy. I can't get enough of it. Jesus.
Yeah, he's great.
If you agree with me, you got to see Zola because he's amazing in that.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that it's just a great movie. What did you think about the way? Because like I was wondering because I read a couple or I saw some I did some trolling on Rotten Tomatoes and I was seeing just the top line. Not I wasn't clicking through the reviews, but just and I saw a lot of people talking about being like overly preachy or whatever. How did you think it touched on the issues of? There's lots of stuff, historical, systematic racism, gentrification, et cetera.
It touched on them a lot, mm-hmm. a lot. I'm still sorting out how I feel about not how I feel about it because I'm sympathetic to it, but what the movie is trying to say specifically about that, because I think there's a lot of misdirection in the dialogue in this movie too. I think there are things happening mm-hmm. that you can either take at face value, as they're said, or you can read a little bit under the surface there and understand what they're doing. And I want to get into that when we talk spoilers here in a minute.
I don't know. It's like, first of all, it's like, I don't know that it, things need to necessarily be fraught with import. Like it's like every time a black person makes a movie, it doesn't have to be about something.
Oh,
I remember
of
like
course.
When I was growing up, like you see a movie like Poltergeist and it's like the whole thing is like, what was it? It was a burial ground. Like you moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies, and that's why we're haunted. And like, oh my god, what a horrific situation! Like, I mean, this brutal history of systematic racism. I think it beats the hell out of a origin story. I don't know about being too preachy or whatnot. There's a couple things like I felt like it was a little muddled about some of the stuff about gentrification because I felt like the movie. Kind of successfully turned pointed the finger back at the young black artist. And I'm like,
that's what I wanted to talk about. But I need spoilers to do it. So,
okay.
We'll get there.
Yeah. I just thought it makes me want to see the original Candyman. I would not mind seeing this movie another time or two. It's just, I just can't believe how. This guy goes from such a charming dude to such a basket case. I mean, I guess, like I said, that's where the body horror comes in. Cause I kept on thinking about, like The Fly, with Jeff Goldblum and like a similarly, like kind of like preternaturally attractive, charming person, like just utterly, and how they can kind of like pull that off. There's some hard to watch shit in this movie. I want to tell you that
for sure.
What else we want to talk about? Non-spoilery.
Oh boy.
Franchise potential.
Yeah. The story, invites that, right? I mean, it's a generational thing sort of, in the movie. And so,
you could almost do like take it in different historical anthologies, kind of like Fargo. Like what's Candyman look like in 1930? What's Candyman? Mm-hmm. What's Candyman look like in 2071? Cyberpunk Candyman. Like you could do some cool shit with that.
Cyber hook.
What? He's got a cyber hook. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves gives it to him. Anything else we want to talk about? Because I got a couple trailers we could talk about, but I also don't want to rush into the spoiler section.
Let's talk about the trailers.
Okay. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's lunch 420, which given last weekend seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah, well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Before I get into that, just so you know, the as far as we're planning, the next first run Bald movie will be October 1st, The Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel. Very excited to see that. But there won't be anything out in September again. Like I said, anything planned anyway. First trailer that I saw that was new, because there's a couple of those we've seen a couple times. Queenpins.
Mm-hmm.
This is goddammit, the lady from The Good Place, Kristen Bell.
Yes.
And Kirby Howe Baptiste. And the hook here is I think they are some kind of coupon bloggers. Mm-hmm. Or like newsletter ladies, and they decide to go full on Robin Hood by counterfeiting coupons and distributing them to families in need for profit, not out of the goodness of their heart, but for profit. And they are pursued by Agent Vince Vaughn from the U.S. Postal Service, I think, investigating interstate mail fraud. And his partner, who the only thing I've seen him in is he's the guy of the overly supportive wife that supports his dramatic career in the recent season of I Think You Should Leave. Or You Should Leave Now, rather. Remember the guy who insulted his wife over the guy's night, and then he had an elaborate flashback of how his wife has been good to him, and he's like, you know what, guys? I don't feel good about that. I got to take all that back.
Over the poker game. Okay. Yeah.
For the poker game. Yeah. I think this looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know. This is like the opposite of social commentary. I couldn't have a look at this and go, oh God, they're glamorizing being so poor. You need coupons to buy your meals. I don't know.
Some late stage capitalism shit for sure. Yeah.
I'm just, I don't know if I can handle that.
I think it looks like a lot of fun. I'm going to try to do I have to go in and look? Again, this is just this is the graveyard and Poltergeist, Jim.
You're right. Just go in there with a pair of scissors and have fun. Have fun.
Did we talk about Jackass Forever?
I think we did, but if you want to talk about it again, I'm down.
I still can't believe these old ass men are doing this shit. Yeah. And they also have a guy that weighs like 500 pounds doing this shit.
Uh-huh.
I saw a dude at FedEx fall off, who weighed about that as much as this guy, fall off of like a 2.5 foot catwalk, and it almost broke him as a human being.
Yeah.
Like it hospitalized the guy. I don't see how this shit's physically possible. I don't see how these guys are still breathing. Like, seriously.
I mean, some of them aren't. At least one of them has died.
From doing this shit or drugs and alcohol?
Debatable. Debatable.
Okay.
A car accident, I think. But where's the line? Where's the line between living your life this way on screen and living it?
But no one's died from one of these fucking stunts. No one's testicle has exploded.
Are there jokes about that? Is Johnny Knoxville claim like he's got no, like, a testicle left or none?
Maybe. The shot in the trailer where he gets hit by a bull and he's stiff as a board, just helicoptering through the air. I don't. He's 49 years old, Jim.
No, oh, I know. I'm 39, and I that would break me.
He looks like a bag of bones in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how it's. I don't know. It's just some crazy shit. I don't know. Let's talk about Malignant. I don't think we have talked about this trailer. This is James Wan's latest, speaking of scary James Wan movies, a horror movie. I cannot tell you what the fuck it's about.
It's about some girl who has been haunted by an apparition her entire life, and now it's
she's been
real bad
about it or something.
Yeah,
she's like they tried to move her and save her, and it didn't work, and now it's followed her, and somehow it's like dissolving the walls of her house. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not super interested in this one. It looked just like a standard. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm down to watch anything James Wan makes as far as horror. Because even when it's kind of derivative and not super inspired, it still delivers like that Nun movie. Not the best horror movie I've seen, but it delivered like a good 90 seconds of genuine creep out of the whole hour and a half movie. So,
okay,
I think that's a win. Have we talked about Venomum Maximum Carnage?
Let
the carnage begin.
Right.
Venom, get ready to carnage.
Venom, Brock Carnage. Carnage is Venom in Venom. Let the carnage Brock.
I didn't see the first one.
I saw the first one. I didn't hate the first one. It was all right. This one looks maybe worse, except maybe for Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson is a pretty inspired choice for Carnage, I gotta say.
Oh, is he? I don't know anything really about Carnage other than he's the red Venom.
Yeah, and he is possesses a serial killer's body, and he's maniacal, and
okay, all right.
It's like So they made Venom a pretty good guy in the movie, huh?
I think so. Yeah,
probably an anti-hero, like the pun. He's positioned like the Punisher because, like, when I was reading comic books, villain was just an unmitigated. This was pre-Carnage, and he was just an unmitigated asshole, murderous thug. I guess maybe he's good in comparison to Carnage, but
right.
Anyway, hey, how about this movie, Last Night in Soho, the latest by Edgar Wright? It's got Anya Taylor-Joy in it. I couldn't articulate exactly what this movie's about either, but it
something
looks
about
pretty good.
A woman being transported back in time into Anya Taylor-Joy's body
through her fashion or art, or maybe she's possessing her.
Yeah, something.
It looks very creepy and very cool.
Yeah, it does. And I'm in for anything that Edgar Wright does until he disappoints me seriously, which he never has.
That's true. Because I was going to say, like, you know, this looks like a very slick kind of thing, but it reminds me of like Cure for Wellness or shit like that, where it's like, is this trailer going to be? But you're right. Edgar Wright has not let us down.
He has not. Although it didn't feel like an Edgar Wright movie in the trailer. Like Edgar Wright, I think of like,
it's true,
you know, slick moving cuts, a lot of dynamicism in the directing. That's not in this trailer, as best I can tell. It looks more like a
too. That's it, I've like this
almost like
I've
a Noah Hawley
seen
trailer or something.
Because I've never seen a project of his that threatens to be just completely devoid of humor or irony either.
Right.
So this does not look funny at all.
Really. No.
Yeah. I'd be curious to check it out. It's coming out late October, and it's like, I think we're double stacked. I think we have Dune that we got to see the week before, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Halloween Kills. Did we talk about this?
No, this is the first time I've seen this trailer.
I think this looks kind of cool. Like Grandma Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, like the vengeful ghost she is to protect her progeny, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that was Jamie Lee Curtis. I thought it was Carol from The Walking Dead. They look identical at this point, right?
No, Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't fuck around making soup. She's got Michael Myers to deal with.
She's got that Michael Myers money.
I think this looks really cool and good for Jamie Lee Curtis. And like, it feels like this is another one of the trailers that gives the whole fucking movie away, because it feels like the climax of this movie is going to be the whole neighborhood getting together and just beating the shit out of Michael Myers,
which is cool.
Like kind of like at the end of the Spider-Man kind of, you know, like when the whole city of New York rose up against the Green Goblin.
Oh, you okay. Mess, yeah.
You mess with Jamie Lee Curtis, you mess with the whole block. And they just like come up with their 2x4s and their baseball bats and their 9 irons. They just beat the shit out of Michael Myers. I want that's kind of what I want to see.
I just want to know when they're going to give up on breaking the curse. Like Michael right. Myers has been taken to hell. Michael Myers has been everywhere you can go. He's died 100 times.
Has he been in space?
That was Jason. That was Jason.
Damn.
But he might as well go to space because, you know, why not? I just don't know why they're holding out hope. Like, we can beat him. But this will be the time where we burn him, we drown him, we cut off his head, we throw his body into the street and let a truck hit it. Oh, he's not dead? Big surprise. Big fucking surprise.
You know, this gives me an idea. You're talking about the Friday the 13th and all these slasher movies. What if for one Groundhog Day, we did a scary groundhog?
Oh, my God. That'd be so good.
We find either Friday the 13th or, you know, there just got to be one of those
Leprechaun
fucking series that will give us exactly 20. Oh, you want to do a potpourri?
Maybe.
I was going to do like every Friday the 13th.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good hook because, you know, it's Groundhog's Day, Friday the 13th. They're both date related.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Scary. It have to be the sixth one because isn't that a curse number? Six. Yeah. Six? So this is the fifth Groundhog Day. Maybe next year, 2022.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Halloween Kills, and I think that's the last trailer we need to talk about. Did I miss one?
Nope.
Okay. That means that we are going to be getting into the spoiler section, and that is a feature that we reserve for club members and patrons. If you'd like to check out how to become one of those, you can get our full spoiler thoughts. And also, I'm going to tell a really funny anecdote. Speaking of silly ass white people conjuring ghosts and mirrors, I got a family story to tell. And it's going to be premium content. And you can get it by going to support.baldmove.com and plunking down your $5 a month. We'll see everybody else in the spoiler section.